This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Stay right there and honor. They all
belong to you.
Blessings and glory, blessings
and glory
and honor.
And honor.
They all
belong to you.
I said, blessings, blessings, blessings
and glory
and honor.
And honor.
Yeah.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from this peaceful shore. Very deeply, I was staying within. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard despairing cry from the waters, he lifted me. Now I'm saved in my. Somebody want to know what it was? It was
love lifted me.
Love
lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from little sure, y'all. Very deeply, I was stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. Y'all know what? Above the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. Y'all can clap your hand right here, but listen. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Hey, it was lifted me. Lord, lifted me.
Completely saves. He will save you by his love out of life's angry waves. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise on this Sunday morning. Truly love lifted me. Let us stand. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and God, we pray now that you would speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word that will remind us that you are God and God all by yourself. We thank you on this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you because we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you live. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Y'all ought to know that one by heart. Our young people on yesterday for their Easter egg hunt, they had some golden eggs that had some better prizes in them. But if they found the golden egg, they had to know a scripture verse in order to get what was in the egg. Amen. And I know, I wasn't here, but I'm sure a lot of them had Jesus wept if they didn't have anything. All right. Amen. But I want to encourage every parent, make sure that your child knows John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. I want to talk for just a few moments about the greatest gift. The greatest gift. Amen. The greatest gift. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor is going to talk to us about the greatest gift. Amen, amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, this is the day that defines our faith. This is the day that separates Christianity from every other religion. This is the day that proves that what God promised, God also performed. Because on Friday, they crucified him. On Saturday, he lay in the grave. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And I don't know who I came to preach to this Easter morning, but Somebody walked in here carrying a Friday burden. Somebody has been stuck in a Saturday season, silent, uncertain, and weary. But I came to announce that Sunday is coming. Resurrection is still real, and God still has the power to turn your darkest moment into a divine miracle. That's why John 3 and 16 still stands as the centerpiece of our faith. It is not just a verse, it is the voice of heaven. It is not just scripture, it is salvation summarized. It is the gospel in one glorious sentence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, if you want to understand Easter, you've got to understand this passage, because it shows us, number one, the magnitude of God's love. It shows us, number two, the measure of God's gift. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the mission of our faith. Well, first of all, let's talk about the magnitude of God's love. How many of you know that God loves you? Amen. This text opens with thunder. For God so loved the world. Not casually, not conditionally, not conveniently, but so loved. That word soul stretches beyond language. It speaks of intensity. It speaks of immensity. It speaks of intentionality. It is a love so deep, tell your neighbor, you can't drown it. It's a love that is so wide that you can't outrun it. It is a love that is so high, you cannot outgrow it. And it is so strong that you can't break it. And here's the shock of the text. It's not just how much God loved, but really what ought to catch your attention is who God loved. The text says that he loved the world. What kind of world are you talking about? It is a world full of sin. It is a world full of selfishness. It is a world full of rebellion. It is a world that rejected him. Yet God did not withdraw his love. The text lets us know he reached out in love. Oh my, oh my. The text lets us know that God did not reach out in condemnation, but rather he loved us. Is there anybody here who knows that God loves you in spite of you? Come on, come on. Where are my folk who don't mind admitting? You know, I know some of you are highfalutin and you want folk to think that you got it all together, but there are two or three of us in here who don't mind admitting that God loved us, in spite of our wickedness, in spite of our low down and evil ways, in spite of our gossip and our backbiting. You ought to give God praise this morning if you know that he loved you in spite of you. Now, somebody needs a lesson on love, so let me give you three lessons on love. Number one, love initiates. God did not wait for us to get right. The Bible says he moved first. Before you prayed, God planned. Before you sought him, he sought you. Before you cried out, he had already carved out a way. Love that initiates says, I'll take the first step. Love that initiates says, I'll open the first door. I'll make the first move. That's why salvation is not our idea. It's God's initiative. The Bible says Adam failed, but God still came walking. The Bible says that Israel cried, but God yet raised the deliverer for them. The Bible says that the world was dark, but God sent us light. And if the truth be told, if God had waited on us, we'd still be waiting on salvation. Is there anybody glad that God stepped in? So love initiates, but love also invites. Amen. The text says he loved the world. That means, my brothers and sisters, that it is an open invitation. Come if you're broken. Come if you're burdened. Come if you're bitter. Come if you're bound. Come if you're confused. Come if you're curious. Come if you've been in church all your life. Come if this is your first time hearing the gospel. God's love does not discriminate. It demonstrates. And that means the church ought to reflect the same invitation. This is y'all, not a museum for saints. Oh my, I know that's what some of y'all think it is. That's why you come in here on Sunday, because you think that this is a museum for saints. But I come by to tell you that this is not a museum for saints. Can I tell you what it really is? It's a hospital for sinners. Oh my, oh my. Can I tell you what it really is? It is not a club for the perfect. It's a refuge for the weary. Some of y'all step up in here like you got it all together, like you never mess up, like you never make a mistake. But I'm standing here behind this sacred desk with the Bible in my hand, with the Holy Ghost in my heart. But I've got to admit that I don't have it all together. I don't get it all right. But I'm so glad that I found out that this is a hospital for messed up folk. Where are my folk who are glad that he is a saving God? Love initiates, love invites, but finally, in this point, I got two more points, it is that love includes. Look at what it says. It says, whosoever believes. That one word, y'all, whosoever, that one word levels the playing field. Oh my, oh my, I know we come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We come from different educational backgrounds. Amen. We come from different parts of town, different cities, and all of that. But when you see this word, whosoever, look around the room, it levels the playing field. There are no big I's and little U's. It levels the playing field. Whosoever means your past cannot block you. Whosoever means your pain cannot disqualify you. Whosoever means your mistakes cannot cancel you. That means grace is greater than your guilt. It means that mercy is stronger than your mess. It means that God's love is bigger than your brokenness. That is the magnitude of God's love. It initiates, it invites, it includes. But then secondly, I want us to look at the measure of God's gift. Oh my, thank God for the magnitude of his love. But let's look at the measure of this gift that he gives us. Now watch the shift. Love is not just spoken. Tell your neighbor, love is shown. It says that he gave his only begotten son. God didn't send a message. He sent his son. He did not send advice. He sent us a savior. And so when we look at the measure of the gift, we've got to first of all look at his son who is offered. He gave his son. Not an angel, not a substitute, not a second option. Y'all, he gave us his best. Jesus stepped out of eternity into time. He put on flesh and walked among us. He felt what we feel. He faced what we face. He endured what we endure. Because you cannot save humanity from a distance, you've got to step into their dilemma. That's his son offered, his sacrifice given. He didn't just come to live, y'all. He came to die. That's the shadow behind Easter. I'm talking about the cross. That's the shadow behind Easter. You can't celebrate Easter without a cross. That's why even when I did the flyer and put it on Facebook about the Easter egg hunt, if you go back and look at the flyer that we created for the Easter egg hunt, at the center of the flyer, On top of the eggs, on top of the bunnies, was the cross. Thank God for the cross. I said, thank God for the cross. They pierced him in his hands, pierced him in his feet, placed the crown of thorns on his head, hung him high and stretched him wide. And watch this. He didn't die because they took his life. He died because he gave his life. And when he cried, it is finished. He wasn't saying, I'm done. He was saying the price has been paid. His sacrifice given, his son offered, his salvation granted. And because of that sacrifice, salvation is granted. Not earned. So blessed to see Laura here, one of my mother's sitters here. I think it was on the fourth Sunday, amen, of last month that she walked this aisle and rededicated her life to Christ because she understood, amen, that salvation is not earned, it's not deserved, it's not achieved. You don't work for it, you don't earn it, you don't perform it, you receive it. And is there anybody thankful for what you receive? Do you know what you receive? You receive forgiveness for your past. You receive peace for your present. You receive power for your future. You receive eternal life beyond the grave. And here's the shout. Easter morning is God's receipt that the payment went through. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Where are my worshipers? Where are my folk who are glad that the payment went through? Come on. Come on, come on. Some of you have dealt with folk and you had to go back because the payment didn't go through. You had to pay bank fees and insufficient fund fees because the payment didn't go through. But you ought to be thankful this morning that when Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his precious blood, when they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and when he got up Sunday morning, that was your evidence that the payment went through. And if you can't shout for anything else, you ought to be able to shout on this Easter Sunday morning, because I know that I know that I know that I've been saved. I got one more point. Talked about the magnitude of his love. Talked about the measure of his gift. But then finally, I want to leave you with this point, the mission of our faith. Look at what it says. It says that whosoever believes, not debates, not discusses, not observes, but whosoever believes. And I need to tell you how you need to believe. You need to believe, first of all, wholly or completely. Not halfway, not occasionally, not conditionally, but wholly. That means trust God. Trust him with your mind. It means you got to trust him with your heart. It means you got to trust him with your future. It means you got to trust him even with your fears. Real faith says, I'm all in. I'm leaning on him. I'm depending on him. So number one, you got to believe wholly. But secondly, you got to believe humbly. Faith requires humility. See, you cannot receive grace with a proud heart. You've got to admit, I can't save myself. You've got to admit, I need a Savior. Can I tell you one thing you cannot do at the cross? You cannot brag at the cross. The only thing you can do at the cross is bow down and give God praise. So you've got to believe wholly. You've got to believe humbly. But then finally, you've got to believe hopefully. Because Jesus didn't stay dead. Hope says this is not the end. Hope says this pain is not permanent. Hope says this struggle is not final. Hope says, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Because if God can raise Jesus, I come by to tell you, he can raise anything. He can raise your dead dreams. He can raise your dead joy. He can raise your dead peace. He can raise your dead purpose. I tell you, he specializes in resurrection. The greatest love gave the greatest gift to meet our greatest need so we could receive the greatest life. God loved, Christ came, the cross stood, the blood flowed, the grave closed. But early, I said early, Sunday morning, he got up. Is there anybody here? Aren't you glad that he didn't stay in the grave? Because if he had stayed in the grave, we would still be lost. If he had stayed in the grave, sin would still have power. If he had stayed in the grave, death would still have victory. But early, I said early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Power to save, power to heal, power to deliver, power to restore, power to pick you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground. And because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Because he lives, your struggle won't destroy you. Because he lives, your pain won't define you. Because he lives, your past can't hold you. So if you know he lives, I said if you know he lives, you ought to open your mouth. You ought to lift your voice. You ought to give God glory. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he put clapping in your hands? Won't he put running?